Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Republican South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham blasted the provision in the so-called Inflation Reduction Act that would allow the IRS to hire up to 87,000 more Agent Smiths. I threw in the Smith Matrix reference for y'all just to keep it entertaining. At a press conference with South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster Tuesday. Doesn't that sound like a South Carolina governor name? Mr. McMaster, please run for governor of South Carolina. Yes, I believe I will. Henry McMaster, vote for me. Tuesday, Graham assailed the provision to hire up to 87,000 new IRS agents over 10 years, more than doubling the size of the tax collection agency. Sounds like a party I don't want to get invited to. Graham said that those agents would inevitably target the middle class. Well, duh, since upper class people have the money to afford accountants and lawyers, and most people do not. That's true. Graham also vowed to fight against IRS expansion by rescinding the annual spending for the IRS and redirecting it to the southern border. I'm liking this Lindsey Graham guy more and more all the time. The one that really has gotten a lot of attention for some reason, somehow every Democrat in Washington in the United States Senate believes it's a good thing to hire 87,000 new IRS agents. Jeez. Kill me now, okay? No, don't. You manifest things. You got to be careful. To come after you and your taxes, Graham said, this is supposed to be for the rich, but let me tell you, the rich have a bunch of lawyers and accountants. Well over half of all the audits conducted in the United States are conducted on people who make less than $75,000 a year. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gents, $75,000 a year ain't what it was a year ago, for instance. I couldn't believe it when I read it, Graham continued. They're talking about expanding the IRS 2.5 times. Graham noted that the number of the IRS agents would be enough to completely fill either Williams-Brice Stadium, the University of South Carolina's football stadium, or Death Valley. All right, well, let's finish that article there. Talk about ushering in a red wave, folks, as if inflation wasn't bad enough, or impending food shortages, or banana republic like flexing against political opponents, or gas prices, or medical tyranny. Let's make your life even more of a hellscape by hiring a bunch of new Agent Smiths. In this matrix, your life has become. They claim it's not aimed at the middle class, but 87,000 new agents certainly seems like it's aimed at the middle class. Are there even 87,000 super rich left in America? It's like watching a family member who is hell-bent on self-destruction, watching the left alienate themselves more and more from the American people. They are daring the red wave to sweep them away, which is concerning because more and more, it seems to me, they might hold on to their power the way an actual banana republic does through crisis and so much unrest and division that the military will soon be used on the battlefield against America's own citizens. Corrupt elections are only the tip of the iceberg as to their dirty tricks they might use to hang on to their power. So overt is their self-destruction in accordance to actual Americans that the further down this road they go, the less veiled this veiled threat of keeping their power in spite of the will of the people becomes. This is how the breaking of a nation happens. And turns out America is not unbreakable, nor are its people who are wading through this time of financial collapse just trying to survive it. The last thing they need is a looming threat of 87,000 agents descending onto their business to fuel more corruptive policies aimed at giving the mega rich more and more money and power and routing out the middle class to the realms of financial catastrophe. And propaganda falls short where people's pocketbooks are concerned. When people are struggling to feed their families, they are less concerned with debating about pronouns or even vaccines, which have done nothing but injure and kill anyway. The red wave might be different than red waves of the past. This one might be a river of blood. All right, send your emails to josepharthur@tntradio.live. Do you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, or fundraiser that could do with some free publicity? TNT Radio wants to promote it for you. Simply visit the What's On events calendar on the TNT Radio website, submit your event details, and we'll get the word out on TNT Radio.
Digging deeper on the facts.
It's a source I can trust.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Brad. best gets a miss from five times again. We could be heroes just for one day. Five times again. It's Brad Skistamis. I went all Bowie on you right there.
It was incredible. I love the vibrato you got. It's great.
Thanks, dude. I'm excited because I don't know if you heard. You probably didn't, but oh yeah, I did because I texted you and our good friend Dickie. Filed my suit against the gargantuan LA Times. It's David versus Goliath. I got my slingshot and I'm about to hit the beast right in the forehead between the eyes, and they're going to fall right into a pile of huge amounts of money for this guy. Drinks are on the house.
Yeah, buddy. I'm excited for you. You know, that's what we got to do is fight back, you know, and
exactly.
And you're doing it.
Well, I'm doing it. Yeah, man. Well, they, you know, they went for broke with me. They like tried to smear me to the ends of the earth. They lost me gigs. I had gigs booked that were instantly canceled. I lost management, booking agent, all kinds of stuff. You know, and they piled on as well, the LA Times, and can't do that, man. It's like, it's, were you trying to destroy my character? Were you trying to make an example out of me? They gave me a 4-page Sunday Times art section story. It's like, dude, I have a nice little following in the music business, nice little career, but nothing worthy of a 4-page Sunday Times spread without releasing a record or anything like that. It was clearly done with a point in mind. They don't give you space like that without an agenda behind it. Either a publicity department and you're the next big thing and they're promoting your thing, or they're trying to destroy you in the case of a strange new injection that they want everyone to take. But, you know.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy, though? Like I haven't had any giant smear articles written about me, but like Wikipedia deleted the Five Times August page last year. And it's like, nobody cares about my page, you know, like, you know, it's like nobody's going there and editing it every day and trying to keep up, you know, and nobody, you know, it's like, it didn't matter, you know? And so for them to make the effort to go out of their way after it had been up for 15 years, you know, you have to wonder those things. Are you just trying to make an example out of another person that's going against the grain, that is a troublemaker? And that's, you know, it's these people with little positions of power, you know, and that's what they do.
It brings up a great point. It really does, because both of us are similar in this way in terms of just like, you know, neither one of us is Michael Jackson, although you have like really like emerged in recent times, and that's wonderful. You have a huge social media presence on Twitter and you're excellent at it. I look to you for inspiration. Brad Skistamis from Five Times August, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't catch that from my David Bowie scream session at the beginning, you might have missed it. So let me reintroduce him the way a normal person would. There you go. And he's excellent. He's amazing. If you don't know his songs, you need to do yourself a favor and look them up. They are incredible. But so, Brad, you know, the crazy thing is it's really kind of inspiring, your story of Wikipedia, my story with the LA Times, because here you got these, like, you know, guys out there, you know, doing pretty good, got a little bit of a base, a little something, something going on, the ability to feed their family with their arts and crafts career. You know, they're probably not threatening, you know, the Billboard top 10 anytime soon, but they could get lucky. They're still angling for it, but they're, you know, they're in the minor leagues, so to speak, not of artistic merit, but you know what I'm talking about in terms of popularity. And yet you have something like the LA Times go after me to this degree. And then you have somebody, whatever, a Wikipedia double agent concerned with taking down your page. So that should be inspiring for everybody that you really can make a difference, that if you're sitting on the sidelines wondering or not whether you should use your voice, you absolutely should. If you are concerned with making a difference, you can make a difference. I got to tell you, dude, it's been hanging over my head, this case, and there was a 1 year limit to getting the case in, and it went right up to the edge and we got it in. And so it's like, I'm so excited that it came. Yeah, it's really incredible, dude. I got that text this morning, like, we are filed. That was a three-word text, and I'm like, yes, you're going down, Charlie Brown. You're going down, bruh.
That's great. Yep, see, that kind of stuff, like, those little obstacles I've found over the last couple of years have been, I don't know, it just works the opposite way. Right. You know, it's like, okay, if you're going to, like, I just got off of a 7-day suspension on Facebook, and I was trying to think, like, okay, when I come back, maybe I'll make a bigger deal out of it. And I made a promo code for my merch with Zuck Sucks as the promo code. And I promoted a new shirt that had the Facebook logo rewritten to say fascist book. Yeah,
I saw that.
So, like,
I saw that,
you know, and I made a little video that was like, it'll never happen again. I quoted the Shawshank Redemption lines where I, like, Morgan Freeman comes in, he goes, I've learned my lesson. I can honestly say I'm a changed man. And, you know, I gave a little wink to the camera and stuff. But, you know, it's just so ridiculous that you can't take it seriously when they, you know, they put you in timeout and want you to think about what you did for a week, and you can't post or like my birthday was over the suspension.
Happy birthday,
so,
brother.
Well, thank you very much. But I was getting these messages on Facebook, happy birthday. And I couldn't even like the messages. And it just sort of made me think of like getting a birth. If this was like real life interaction, it's like somebody handing you a birthday card and then the Zuckerberg regime coming up and going, you cannot have that, you know, and taking it and like reading it for you and like confiscating your birthday cards and, you know, you can have that back at the end of the week.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
What is this? Excuse me.
What do you have?
I'll be holding onto these.
Ooh, $5 from grandma.
I'll be confiscating this now. Please go back to your corner. You go to your corner, sir.
That's right. But like, it's so stupid that we're in these invisible rooms. Dude. And they're like, you can't be here for a week. You're causing too much trouble. You're a danger to society.
It's the Laura Logan thing. It's the Laura Logan thing, bro. And you have a huge system going on with Twitter. Are you building it out on Truth Social and Getter and all that as well? I need to get over there and do that, man. Mm-hmm. It's just...
Yeah, I'm on those ones. They're kind of there as backup. I need to get on them more because, you know, at some point they're going to boot me from Twitter and Facebook and all together, and I won't be able to get back on or something. And
right.
So I need people to know, you know, and that was another thing I put in that video when I came back from Facebook. I was like, hey, you know, go ahead and follow me on all those other sites because I'm on all those different ones, but they're just sort of there for, you know, as a safety net.
Yeah, I need to do that. It's just like every day there's so much to do. It's wild. And then you want to make art and stuff too. And that takes all the time. I remember when art used to just take all the time and there wasn't this whole social media aspect of it, you know?
Right.
And then,
that's how things have changed over the last 20 years is you used to just be able to be an artist, but now you have to be an influencer. You have to have to have a social media, you know, influence, and you have to know how to make your own shirts and, you know, all that stuff, make your own website. Right. A lot of the time, I mean, that's been my whole career is like building my own websites and merch and tour posters and album artwork, and just, it's completely do it yourself. And, but that said, like, I wouldn't have it any other way because it leaves me the freedom to just speak what I want to speak without worrying about, you know, my manager or lawyer or record label trying to shut me up or something.
Yeah, and they'll do that, and it's and you've streamlined it and gone straight forward into that, and it's paid off incredible for you, man. It's in terms of also your writing, it's like you write great songs regarding all this stuff. I heard this Biden one that was, I thought might be new. It was great, very Dylan-y, and I loved the video as well. And I asked you about it. I retweeted it and I asked you about it because I thought it was brand new. And you're like, nope, that's a year old. And I'm like, dang, dude's been after it for a while. What's that one called? Yeah,
that was just called Joe. It sort of came about.
I thought it was about me at first. That's why I listened to it. I was like, oh, Brad wrote me a love song. That's nice about our friendship. Just me and him hanging out. And it's like,
did you have a withdrawal from Afghanistan debacle? Because that was what that joke
that's when
had.
I knew. But, yeah, that's when I knew it wasn't about me.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I've sort of been like writing an album in real time over the last year. And, you know, I write it, a song, and then make the video and then, you know, wait for the next one to sort of come to me. But it's been I'm getting close to the end of it, though. I feel like I've got one song I'm working on finishing up right now, and then I'll have one more, and then I'm going to put them all together and make an album out of it. And hopefully all the seeds I've planted over the last year will culminate, you know, and we'll really, really see it blossom when it all comes together as a full project, as a one album, you know, because there's a story in there. Like if I was going to change the track listing to it, and I thought if you listen to it in order, you can kind of hear things unfold since early 2021 when I started releasing them to now. It's kind of interesting.
That's incredible. It's a big inspiration about what it means to be focused on a single objective over a really significant period of history, and the fact that it's going to culminate into a record is really exciting. I want to hear what the title of that record is, but we're going to leave that as a cliffhanger. He might not reveal that at all on the other side of this break on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Shannon Joy is talking about.
The revolt in Netherlands by the farmers, and in Germany and in Canada, the new ESG scores and the new sustainability goals that we're seeing in the United States of America pushed by Biden, this war on farming, this war on the ability for humans to access food. Some are calling it the starvation agenda. It is actually rooted in a declaration that was put together almost 10 years ago in 2015 with the adoption of UN Agenda 2030. If you want to understand what is happening in terms of politics, you have to understand the United Nations, the UN Agenda 21, and the UN Agenda 2030. That is the framework for the Great Reset, and it lays everything out, and they've been at this for many, many decades.
The Shannon Joy Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I view Al Sharpton as a poverty pimp.
Terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland.
I walk outside every day in fear of white supremacy right here in the middle of the hood. Okay, yeah, right.
My grandparents had a cross burned on their property. We were slaves in the past. We're free now.
I never seen a white supremacist in my life. Never, and they can't point to one. Where the hell are they? I wish somebody would introduce me to a white supremacist. I would like to talk to them and take pictures with them because I never seen one in my life.
Biden says that the country is systematically racist. You know, I almost want to look at him and say, haven't you been the system for the last 50 years?
He's the one that sponsored the 1994 crime bill, which unequivocally basically targeted black men in black neighborhoods.
The polarization. The left versus right, the black versus white.
Pro-choice against pro-life.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
People have had to make it like they're apologizing for their whiteness.
And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
what's more disheartening to me is that those who are within the black community are allowing for that to take place.
So really what we're dealing with is a cultural Marxism that Joe Biden and all the rest from the left were trying to inculcate into our society.
Well, you were once the oppressor, so now I must be the oppressor. You don't avenge evil for evil.
It's okay to say disparaging things against white people. Our former president, Barack Obama, said it, you know, about old white men are a problem. Except when it comes time for him to fly around on their airplanes and ride around on their yachts or be their next door neighbors or endorse them for president like Joe Biden, then old white men are okay. This is their last gasp.
What do progressive socialists really want?
Watch Systematic Deception at salemnow.com.
You'll never abolish the Department of Homeland Security until you abolish America's world empire. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And we're back with Brad Skistamis from Five Times August. So, Brad, you're talking about putting this whole masterpiece together of a record, songs you've written over this course in history of unprecedented tyranny and suppression of voices and weirdness and mandated poisonous injections and just total corruption, which you have boldly spoken out against the entire time. What's the album going to be called? Are you revealing the title yet?
I haven't completely decided. I have a song called Silent War, and I thought about just calling the album Silent War Songs, but I don't know.
I like Silent War.
Just Silent War.
Songs.
Without the songs, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. Okay, well, that's
good. It works because it works on a lot of levels, man, because a lot about what this war has been about, it's an information war. Also a psychological war, also just an actual war. But it revolves around people being silent. And fighting back against it is not being silent.
Yeah, there's so many layers to that, to the idea of the silence of the war and the silence within the war, because it's about speaking out, it's about not speaking out, but it's also about just our actions have all been like, it's like we've been fighting this digital war, this information war has been through keyboards and phones. And it's really weird because it's a war that we've never experienced before in the history of humanity, where we're all communicating with each other. And it's a ridiculous war because we're fighting it with memes and you know, art. You know, there's a handful of us out there fighting it with art, but the average person can join in on this war. We all have a platform to use our voice until we get kicked out. But That's kind of what I've felt like when I wrote that song, Silent War. That was it was really weird. It just sort of came right out of me. The first verse, it was one of those moments that you hope for as a songwriter, where the song just, it's kind of like you, it's like the song was floating in the ether and you just sort of tapped into it, and it always existed, but it was given to you. And right. That's an incredible thing. Like all these songs, I'm very proud of each and every one of them, but like there's a very heavy spiritual connection to the whole writing process to each one. I haven't rushed any of them. You know, I haven't been like, okay, I got to get the next song out. I just sort of let it come to me, and I trust that it'll come to me when it comes to me, you know? So it's been different as opposed to like pre-pandemic Brad would sit down and say, I got to write a song. And it's right. Got to be something catchy and something that people will like. And, you know, and I threw all that out the window over the last year. It's just sort of been like, I'll write when I want to write and when it comes to me and when it speaks to me. And it's sort of the true artist within me was, you know, connected, but it's also, like I said, a spiritual thing too.
It's the difference between being motivated by fear and not, you know, I mean, but it's weird with art too, though, because, you know, there's multiple ways of looking at it. Like there's that book by Steve Pinkerton called The War of Art. And he talks about, there's a section in it talking about the difference between professionals and amateurs. And I think the main premise of that chapter is professionals just sit down and do it, no matter their mood, no matter their feeling. And there's a lot to be said for that. And I think depending on your pursuit, you know, if you're trying to write a book, I think that is probably a better way of going about it, or who knows. But there's what you're saying as well, and I vibe with that too. It's like, because one is sort of motivated, you could say motivated by fear to a degree, but you know, maybe it's just motivated by a work ethic that isn't mood dependent. Because if you rely on moods, depending on who you are, that can sidetrack you for a long time, because you know, the mood is an uncontrollable thing to a large degree. I mean, it's a controllable thing to some degree as well. But I like what you're saying too, because it's like being motivated from a fearless standpoint. Because sometimes when you work from a place of fear, the results, that it's kind of like a poison fruit that gets born. Let me go to headlines and I'll get you to comment on that when we come back from the headlines on TNT.
Matt Boylan here with a quick check of the day's headlines. Just 48 hours after the FBI raided his mansion in Florida, former US President Donald Trump has invoked his Fifth Amendment rights and refused to answer questions during a civil investigation into his family's business dealings. China says it's completed its military drills around Taiwan, but has vowed to step up patrols of the island. And Beijing has called out Washington for being the main instigator of the war in Ukraine and has accused the US of setting out to crush Russia.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Do you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, or fundraiser that could do with some free publicity? TNT Radio wants to promote it for you. Simply visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website and submit your event details, and we'll get the word out, helping you make a difference on TNT Radio.
And we're back with Brad Skistamis from Five Times August. Are you with us, Brad?
I think so. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you are. I can hear you, yeah. What did you think about that whole breakdown about fear versus the sort of work ethic in the war of art, the professional versus amateur, and then your approach? How do you feel about those? And I know you've done it all kinds of different ways.
Yeah. You know, I used to think there was sort of one way to write a song, and I would study my favorite songwriters. My favorite guys, you know, my favorite music growing up was always like, if you could open up the lyric book in a CD and it was always like one songwriter underneath the song title, like, you know, Billy Joel or McCartney or something like that, or Paul Simon. And I always like would wonder, like, you know, how do they do it? Do they just sit down and write these songs? And then there'd be other guys that I would look into, and they would let it just come to them. So like, yeah, I just sort of realized there's just different tactics to take. I mean, if you need a song, if you need me to write a song, I can write you a song. And I've had plenty of opportunities in my career where I've done that, where it's like, hey, we need a song that sounds like this, and the message is this, and I can do that. But for me, when it comes to my music and what I'm saying, especially right now, these songs to me are just like it. To me, I'm saying, what do you want me to say, God? And that's sort of my question that I let float into the air until something comes to me, and then I go, okay, it seems like this went somewhere, and I'm gonna hope that feeling and that I've tapped into something, and hopefully I have something good by the end of it. And I feel like it's sort of just been given to me. So it's different. It's just feels different on this side of the aisle. I've let go of a lot of the worry, like you were talking about, that fear of like, what are people going to think if I say this? So yeah, it's kind of all over the place, but like, I mean, I'm writing songs right now for a kids show on the side, and And they, you know, they have to be a specific thing in a specific way, in a specific sound. And I can do that. And I can deliver on that. But these songs, they just mean so much more. And I also, now that I know that I have listeners and people out there that, you know, have really connected with what I've been saying, I want to respect that. And I don't want to give, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm delivering something shoddy or cheap. I want to deliver what needs to be said. So I'm very conscious of that.
Yeah. Andy Warhol told like Lou Reed when he was working with him, it's like, God, musicians are so lazy. He was like, 10 songs a year? Are you kidding? You should write 10 songs a day. Why would you, why do you write so little? And it was like, it's pretty funny though. And it is true though, in some kind of way, because, you know, if push came to shove and you, you know, you could conceivably write 10 songs in a day, especially like, you know, Andy Warhol, apparently he had a penchant for the old, he would, you know, get a little speed going on, and there would, and those, that was very popular back in those days. People would like, you know, the factory, the idea of making art in a factory and just kind of like coldly approaching it. You know, I like that too. I like both. I really do. I like that kind of, and you kind of explore both, as you just said, with the children's music. It's kind of more Brill Building-esque, and I think there's something to be said for that. And then also though, with music, it's this deeper connection thing that like really does call for a song to be delivered from the ether, from God, as you also said. But I'm curious about your take, and you're so tuned into what's going on in the world. You respond to it and report it from your perspective on Twitter pretty much every day, multiple times. You should follow Brad on Twitter at 5 times August. You should also follow me at Joseph Arthur. I need more engagement. I'm going to work on that. So, what do you think about what's going on with America right now? You have Trump obviously getting raided by the FBI. I just saw a headline come in about that, which is pretty interesting. Let me dial that up. From the Gateway Pundit, huge development report alleges FBI had personal stake in Mar-a-Lago raid. Agents were after Spygate documents Trump was holding that likely implicated the FBI. Yeah, there must be more to this story than we know yet. I'm assuming an arrest is coming or something big, because otherwise they've just handed him the best campaign promotion money could buy. What do you think to the state of the world, to the financial collapse, to everything that's going on in our beloved America?
You know, I had tweeted this out the other day. I said, I honestly love being alive at this time in history. For all the insanity and darkness, I do believe on the other side of this mess is a beautiful life for everyone. We were made for this time, for better or worse. Some lead, some follow, but dark will turn to light. I believe it. And that's kind of where I've landed on things, is the pattern that I've seen is that through all this darkness, like, so much has come to surface, and it's a good thing that we can now, so many people can now recognize the world that we live in. And we can, and if we get off of our butts, we can improve upon that, because we're definitely not going back to the world we lived in pre-pandemic. We're not going back to the old normal. And so this phrase, the new normal, that makes me shudder, you know, really it's an opportunity for us to grab a hold of all of the seediness and corruption, and to shed light on all of that darkness. If we get off of our butts, that's the thing that worries me the most, is that people are too complacent and they're waiting on somebody to do something, when really we all need to be banding together at this point and figuring out a way to demand answers. It's hard because they keep shoving stuff in our face every day. It's something new. I mean, who would have assumed like 2 nights ago, oh, hey, the FBI raided Trump. We didn't have that on our bingo card. But, you know, it's a new surprise and a twist and a turn every single day. And yeah. so it's hard to get answers, but we do have to demand answers. But I do think like it's kind of like poking a bear, you know, and I think that like they keep poking it, and people at some point, you know, you're seeing it in other countries. They're fed up. They're done. They're taking it to the streets. They're setting places on fire. And like they've had enough. America is way behind on that. And I think a lot of this would have been over a long time ago, but it's like, they also scared us with all the January 6th stuff. That was another example of let's make an example of what happens to people who, you know, speak out, who try to stand up. And so nobody wants to be put in jail. Nobody wants to be called a traitor. And so there's a lot of different layers that we have to figure out how to navigate. But on the plus side of that is they just keep poking that at some point. I don't know, every time something bad happens, something good happens, right? Every time, for instance, I get censored, more people find out about me, right? And that's kind of like a small example of what I think keeps happening, right? Every time they bring back COVID for, you know, oh, there's a new strain, somebody else wakes up out there, you know, and mm-hmm. I think little by little, you're going to see that wave that they're talking about, you know, build more and more steam, where, you know, I still have enough faith in people as little as it is at this point, but I still think I have enough faith that the longer this goes, the weirder and crazier it gets. It's going to trickle and trickle and trickle until the snowball effect kicks in and this gigantic awakening happens from people, where it's just like, wait a minute, you know, it takes people at different points, I think, right? Like you got the COVID, all the COVID stuff made people go, wait a minute. And then they've strung that in, you know, I've watched my own brother, one of my brothers, sort of awaken to all this. At the beginning of the pandemic, he was like, why would our government lie to us? And now he's sort of woken up to that idea. And he was sort of more optimistic about humanity. And he made an effort to talk to some protesters, and they didn't want to talk to him. And they called him a racist. And he called me and he was like, that just, I don't get it. And I'm like, yeah, they don't want to talk. And so it's going to keep showing itself. It's a balance of fighting for what is right and letting it reveal itself. So I don't know where that balance lies, but I'm doing what I think I need to do. And I think everybody else should, you know, find out what they can do to help sort of reveal the ugliness more and more, to not let conversation die.
Yeah. Is that the same brother who works at Facebook, or is that a different brother?
No, I have two brothers. I have one brother I get along with great, and another brother I did get along with great. But I have another brother who works at Facebook. So
right.
You can imagine the tension that's brewed from that. But
I wonder, though, with the people that are sort of stubborn about trying to pretend like they don't see anything going on, it really, you know, made sense. You know, at the beginning of all this, it was understandable, but at this point, it's a level of stubborn that's kind of hard to fathom. It's like, I don't know. It's just, it's that mm-hmm. I can't really say it any other way. I can try to say it again in a different way, but that's basically it. It's hard to fathom still being, mm-hmm. still remaining not suspicious at all at the sort of operators who are driving this whole narrative forward at this point.
Yeah. You know, I think that they've had this, they're suppressing it the longer it goes. I think more people feel they do have that skepticism, but it's sort of buried, because you have to remember, like, these people that are still sort of putting on the show with the masks and get your boosters and everything. These are the same people that were spent over, well, 2 years now, but placing blame on people and saying, I hope you die, you know, and saying the worst things to people who just wanted to be left alone. And so now the deeper that they've gone, like, can you imagine having to come wake up one day and have to say you're sorry for all those
things? It would suck, but for one, they would get embraced with open arms. If somebody did a mea culpa and said, hey, listen, I was wrong. And I actually read an account just like that. I think it went kind of viral. I think Del Bigtree read it on his show. And it was beautiful. You probably saw it. It was a beautiful letter, and she didn't let herself off the hook. She said, we did this. I was part of that. And, you know, it was a terrible thing we did. And now I know better. And it was beautiful. And it's like, dude, it's an instant. Anyone that would hold that over somebody who is big enough to write something like that, then they become the idiot, you know? And it's like, so, you know, the water's safe. If you do see that, okay, I got it wrong, it's okay. I mean, it's understandable. There was a major, huge push for you to get it wrong. And it doesn't make you an idiot. It just means you didn't see something. And we've all lived through life and not been able to see things. You know, I mean, in my own personal life, there's tons of things I haven't seen that I'm waking up to all the time still. And I'm 50 damn years old. You know, it's like, sorry, I keep coughing, but you know what I mean? It's like, it's all understandable. And so I do know that that would be a tough pill to swallow, but staying in that weird narrative is like just bizarre at this point. Let me go to break and we'll be right back with Brad Skistimus from Five Times August.
Anthony Fauci lied and people died.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
In a rewrite of history, Anthony Fauci is now claiming that he never recommended lockdowns in the United States.
I didn't recommend locking anything down.
That was Anthony Fauci in 2022, denying he had anything to do with lockdowns. But let's go to the audio. Here's Anthony Fauci in 2020.
I recommended to the president that we shut the country down.
Fauci saying I had nothing to do with it. Fauci admitting he actually recommended the lockdowns. And let us not forget, lockdowns killed, delayed medical treatments, depression, loneliness, poverty increase, which causes higher death rates. Isn't it time for Anthony Fauci to come clean and admit his grave error on COVID-19? For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
We're at a party. Three little kids were playing in the pool, all under five. Adults were busy talking, glanced over, noticed a little one underwater. I think she needs help. That's how easily something can happen. It only takes a few seconds. Don't worry, the party had a happy ending. But we need to remember, fence the pool, shut the gate. Teach your kids to swim, it's great. Supervise, watch your mate, and learn how to resuscitate. I'm Laurie Lawrence. Kids Alive, do the five.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
George Soros has supported the election of numerous left-wing DA candidates. Since 2016, when Soros first began to back the campaigns of district attorneys, Capital Research Center researchers have tracked more than $29 million in funding from Soros through political action committees, PACs, formed specifically to back left-wing DA candidates. In total, Soros's cash has generously supported over 20 individual candidates, many of whom won their elections and remain in office. They include Diana Becton, Contra Costa County, California. Becton was one of the first in the position to have no prior experience as a prosecutor. During Becton's first years in office, four Contra Costa cities made the list of the top 100 most dangerous cities in California in 2018, and both violent crime and property crime increased in 2019. Soros has spent a combined $6 million on California DA races, much of it wasted on failed candidates. But almost half was spent on the successful campaign of George Gascon from Los Angeles DA. Since the election, Gascon's implementation of left-wing policies led to a crime wave with soaring homicide rates and increased shoplifting sprees. Kim Fox, Cook County, Chicago, Illinois, who's known for her 2019 decision to drop charges against Jussie Smollett for his infamous hate crime hoax, has made headlines for presiding over Chicago's largest spike in homicides in more than 30 years, while her office dropped charges against 30% of felony defendants during 2020.
For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else.
Everybody here wants information about what's going on.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with Brad Skistemis from Five Times August. We were going over the state of the world. It's so funny, that little ad they played about Fauci, or the little news brief they played about Fauci saying that he never agreed to lockdowns or wasn't responsible for lockdowns. And then they play the clip of him saying he recommends, or he said he didn't recommend them. And then this, you know, it's exactly like what we were talking about, except for that's the snaky way of getting out of it. Like, well, I never did that. I never really, but it kind of shows you that they're, you know, this is how the rats run from the ship. They don't do it all at once. They slowly back away from the explosion, you know, and here's the real concerning thing, I think basically the jig is up, really. I mean, at this point, with the sudden deaths, with the obvious injuries, with the things that they just can't really ignore. I mean, just on the face of the fact that, you know, it doesn't work. Biden, people are recognizing that, you know, their whole one thing they could hang on to was, well, thank God I got the vaccine. It would have been so much worse. And then that just keeps getting bashed back at them, too. That's nonsense. And there's nothing scientific at all that points to that. And all of us who have refused to take it, and we're out there, the picture of health still to this day. I mean, it's like never getting sick, basically. You know, it's like, so the jig is up, you know, and then now you get Fauci backing away slowly. You get like Steve Kirsch on Fox News today. I see this clip of him basically calling it out hardcore, and that's on Fox News. And the anchor there kind of goes, hey, no, those are Steve's figures. You know, he does his due diligence, but basically, and then you see Dr. Drew talking to somebody about it, and on and on it goes. Right. BBC reports a vaccine death. This is how it happens. This is how the narrative shifts towards this. The jig is up. So they know that, and this is why we're going to be dealing with catastrophe on the level of environment. I think this whole thing might have been a misdirection for this supposed environmental catastrophe, the fact that they've gutted the police department and the military, and they're setting up more and more chaos and civil unrest, near civil war with this Trump stuff. You know, does this stuff concern you? Are you prepping at all? I mean, are you concerned? Is your shift of focus concerned with other things outside of this COVID realm? And what are your plans to protect you and your family?
Yeah, that's a funny thing, because I have been stocking up on prepper supplies, you know, food and storage and water and stuff like that, just because, and even if this stuff wasn't going on, it's probably smart that everybody just has a little backup stash anyway. But you know, I try to stay focused on COVID and revealing the fraud that's behind the vaccines and everything. It's just so hard, because like I said earlier, like every day they're slamming you with something new, and you kind of want to chime in, especially when you're on Twitter. It's all woven together. That's the thing, is I try to figure out, okay, how is this pieced with this piece and what they said yesterday? And that's when you can, like, you have to be careful, because you don't want to actually become a quote unquote conspiracy theorist. You don't want to just start making stuff up, but you're looking at all these different pieces, just going like, okay, what is what's the big picture here? What's going to happen here? And seemingly unrelated things, but all woven together. I think COVID's just been the thread that weaves in and out of all of the other chaos. And like you said earlier, the jig is up. Like, if you haven't caught
totally
on yet,
it's up.
Yeah, like that's honestly like the way you just said it is just how everybody should respond at this point. Like,
yeah, dude, it's that simple.
Jig's up.
The jig is up, yeah. Dude. Fauci's even saying, "Hey, dude, I didn't do all this." You got that snake, you know, saying like, being a snake, you know, in the opposite direction. And it's like, come on, the jig is up.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, they have already, like, they've trampled over their own story hundreds of times that now they don't have any other option than just go, like, just to say the opposite things of what they said early on. Like, you have Fauci going, like, I never said that, what? And then you had, right. Who was the other lady? Burks. And then she was talking about how she... A clip of her just came out of her talking about how she right. knew the vaccines were sort of being oversold. Right. But if you go back, you can find the contrary clip that goes with it.
Yeah.
Of her saying early on, like, you got it. You know, these are the best vaccines that you could get and whatever. But it's a complete flip, you know, 180. And that is part of their tactic, though, is like to just sort of sweep it under the rug and go, you didn't see that. You never heard that. No. And you're like sitting there going like, yeah, I did. And it's such a, like a, it's like a 5-year-old mindset because
that's gaslighting.
You're like, yeah, I literally just, here's a video clip. Like, no, but see, that's
that
thing,
doesn't
that's,
really say that. I mean, the gaslighting runs deep. You could be like, well, that didn't really mean that, you know, that's, you know, somebody, mm-hmm. you could play a clip like that in front of somebody that's saying like, you know, you won't get sick if you take the injections. Well, it didn't really mean that. It meant you wouldn't get really sick. It would just mean, you know, it wouldn't mean that you wouldn't test positive. That's not really, you know, I mean, that's how gaslighting works.
Right.
It's almost better when it's super crazy making. It's almost, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I would love it if we could track. The thing is, like, all these people live in echo chambers, right? You won't find Fauci buying a hot dog on the street, and you're not going to be able to run up to him and go, hey, what'd you mean by this back then? He goes in and out through tunnels, through certain portals, and shows up in specific interviews, and he'll never be challenged unless he shows up in front of Rand Paul at some point. But like, if like these people, I think the further this goes and the more they contradict themselves and say things that they know, say, you know, deny that they said things that are clearly out there, people are going to get more and more angry about it. There's a clip that was going around of Fauci just today where he was talking about how his integrity and his search for truth or something, and that's why people have connected with him or something. And it's such a narcissistic response, but it's clear that he lives in an echo chamber of just, you know, he doesn't, I don't think he really knows what the Rotten Tomatoes score is on the Fauci documentary. You know,
but he showed up at a baseball game and got booed. I saw a clip of that. So,
yeah,
I mean, but he doesn't care.
Yeah, probably. You have to wonder, like, yeah, and that's the other thing too. Do these people even really care? If they do know the damage, do they even care? You know, when people probably do not. Start. Really dropping like flies, are they just going to be like, yeah, that was the plan, and just not care? You know, it's a terrible thing to think about, but these people have done terrible things.
It's diabolical, my friend. But you know, listen, you get to play music, you get to keep giving us inspiration. You know, your position in this whole Matter is amazing. I'm happy to know you. I'm proud to know you. I'm proud of you, even though that's weird because I didn't know you until recently. But, you know, I'm more inspired by you. Like, you know, like, so Brad Skistamis from Five Times August. Go follow him on Twitter and all the things. Five Times August. You can find him. And thanks for coming on, Brad. Thanks again, man. Really appreciate
you. Thanks, buddy. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. All right, everybody. Keep listening. We got Adam Ruckus Clark coming on right at the next hour where we're going to go over all the things and talk about the things. Thanks, Brad. Keep listening, everybody, to TNT Radio. We'll be right back.